Listening Library presents Tantalize by Cynthia Leitick Smith. Read for you by Kim Mai Guest.
I never drink wine.
Bela Lugosi's Dracula. Antipasto. Innocenza. Lousy idea. Us sitting like that on the railroad tracks. If we had had to jump, it would have been a heart-stopping drop to the lake below. But Kieran had said he could hear a train coming from far away, in more than enough time for us to scramble from the middle of the bridge to safety. And I trusted him. Liked him watching out for me, too. To the west, the fading horizontal clouds had turned a bloody tangerine color, fuzzy and tinged with violet, like the inside of a conch shell. So I imagined picking one up, a curved shell, and shaking it to see if the animal within had died. Then Kieran's fingernails began tracing the pattern on my upturned palm, and it was hard to think about anything. I knew it bothered him, though. My laugh line, my love line, my lifeline, slight and severed. All of them. This was 4 years ago, so we were in middle school, past due for hand-holding. I'd been staying with Kieran's family, helping with the baby, while my folks were in Guatemala doing whatever professors with archaeology PhDs did there. Daddy, anyway. Mama had just gone along for the ride. They'd be back the day after tomorrow, I realized. And tomorrow could be gone in a heartbeat or two. It's not just a sunset, I said, going for poetic. It's a moonrise, too. Kieran's nostrils flared at that, which I found exceedingly manly. Besides, I'd always loved this time of day. Late evening, when the world went smoky and soft. Dusk. Twilight. Such pretty names. We owed something to the night, didn't we? I tried pressing my newly rounded right boob against his forearm, even though it was well covered in a sweat-stained T-shirt, even though the temperature had to be over 90 degrees. I had it on good authority that most boys my age were due to go boob crazy at any time. But my hand was all he was interested in. As the sun melted into the horizon, I stared into the rippling water and decided to take the lead. If Kieran backed off, I'd make like I was joking. It seemed to take forever, turning my palm until our fingers aligned, rested against one another, ready to intertwine. His face was flushed, moist from the heat, and his expression didn't tell me anything. Taking a shallow breath, I went for it. There. My fingertips touched the back of his hand. His fingertips touched the back of mine. And he was letting it happen. I was about to say something. I didn't know what. When distant, but sure, I heard the train. Kieran? I whispered. I'd distracted him. A cause for celebration if it hadn't been for the penalty. His head snapped in the direction of the oncoming threat, the one that would reach me first, and his eyes in the evening light looked flat and yellow. I didn't feel the pain when I first heard the wet crunching, didn't feel it for long even. Wicked hot, turning my sweat cold. There was an instant, just one, when I looked down at my hand and felt the blood dripping, and realized his nails, claws, had extended, piercing clear through, 5 crescent-shaped punctures, catching raw muscle and splintering bone. Oh, I said, like that explained everything, and suddenly, the train didn't matter so much anymore. Then the world swirled, faded, took me floating into the darkness. Fangs Are Us You're nuts, I exclaimed after swallowing a bite of tender scallops twirled in garlic fettuccine. My uncle will never sign off on this.
No, no, not nuts, Quincy,
the chef countered in an accented baritone.
Garlic is an Italian. Change this, pay for that, but still Italian. So, garlic.
But Baggio, his triumphant smile let me in on the joke.
Ah, bambina, so predictable.
It was nearly 9 p.m., and since 7-ish that evening, I'd been playing taste tester for the teasing and tiring chef. Each dish had been sensual, succulent, but none had screamed,
Presto, bloodlust!
And that's what we were going for. Sanguini's was to be Austin's first restaurant, built around a vampire theme. More class than kitsch, but not without a sense of playfulness. A reboot of Fat Lorenzo's, the family-style Italian restaurant on South Congress, that had once belonged to Grandma and Grandpa Crimi, who'd left it to Mama. She'd often called the business her other child, and seemed more at home there than she did in the house. At least, until 3 winters ago, when she and Daddy died on the icy 183 exit ramp, off Mopac Expressway, orphaning me and the restaurant. The will had placed both of us in the care of Daddy's younger brother, Davidson, until I hit 21. Back then, Uncle D was in his mid-20s, barely out of Texas State University. I was only 14, and the marinara in my veins came from Mama's side of the family, not Daddy's. But Baggio, the chef who'd known my late grandparents since back in their Chicago days, helped Uncle D get up to speed. And from then on, I'd spent more time at Fat Lorenzo's than anywhere else, even Kieran's. All was well until last year, when Pasta Perfecto opened a few blocks south. Though our regulars had stayed regular, their parking lot was twice the size of ours. Within 6 months, Fat Lorenzo's was in the red. Something had to change, I'd said, or we'd find ourselves out of business. Baggio had argued that we should stick with Italian, claiming he didn't know how to cook anything else. Uncle Davidson had suggested the vampire concept.
Can't we just do a ghost? Baggio had asked. It's an old building. We could make up a story. Say, somebody who worked here died.
Nah, Uncle Davidson had replied. Haunted has been done to death. I didn't know much more about vampires than anyone else. After all, the last reported sighting of one in Texas had been about the time of the Kennedy assassination. And even though Kieran, my hybrid werewolf best friend, was a self-appointed expert on creatures of the night, he didn't like talking about vampires. He'd once said, though, that it offended him that the leeches could turn into something wolf-like, too. What if some real vampires actually show up? I'd wanted to know. We'll make a fortune, had been my uncle's reply. In the end, Uncle Davidson's plan had seemed like a bang-up way to keep us all in Chianti. He'd hired a contractor to remodel, expanding into what was once the vintage threads shop next door. That had doubled the size of the main dining room, offered space for 2 4-stall baños, allowed for a small break room and private dining room, and increased the kitchen square footage by a third. For most of my fellow Waterloo High School seniors, the future was little more than a misty dream. Mine had a liquor license from the state of Texas, and an uncle manager who'd bailed tonight to go skinny dipping with his girlfriend, Ruby. Picking up a menu cover that had been sitting on the stainless steel counter, I studied it once more. White with pinkish-blue undertones, made of pressed leather, with an impractical gold tassel for trim, and hard-to-decipher, Gothic-style crimson lettering. The effect, as intended, was a body bled dry and dressed in party clothes. The interior was empty, though, awaiting Vaggio's frantic efforts to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?